is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Outbound. Well, there is one story and one story that people are following, and that is the Inspector General report for the former disgraced, many would say, FBI Director James Comey. And, it's a story for all time because, you know, this is a story we'll be talking about probably 20 years from now, people, if you think about it in those terms. You know, in a summary version, I'll say to you, again, at 30,000 feet, this is an FBI director who attempted to entrap a president. It hardly gets more salacious than this, people, really and truly. You have to remember the FBI is an agency that employs approximately 35,000 people. And this is a myriad of special agents, support professionals, intelligence analysts, and all kinds of ranks of law enforcement. Was always known as the premier law enforcement agency in the nation that has been probably forever tarnished. I don't know how that comes back. And there's a bigger story here, people, I want to talk to you about today, and that is the story of justice. What really is justice? Because I know there are a lot of people who feel justice is simply not served, and there are two forms of justice, correct? Yeah? There is justice for the political class, or the lack of justice, and then there is justice for the rest of us. And that is, in itself, two different lines of thinking here, people. Let's get on with Viewpoint now and bring on here Colonel Jim Warshook is with me. He's retired from United States Air Force. He's a career senior intelligence and special missions officer. He served as deputy director for intelligence for U.S. Central Command and has worked on the White House National Security Council. Let me inform listeners about a few different things here. I have the actual report in front of me now. If you go to page 54 on the report, let me just give you a brief summary, people, so you know what we're talking about here. Page 54, Comey violated department and FBI policies pertaining to the retention, handling, and dissemination of FBI records and information. On page 55, Comey failed to return memos 2, 4, 6, and 7 after being removed as FBI director. Right. On page 56, Comey improperly disclosed FBI documents and information. And it goes on, and we'll get over to now to page 58, Comey's improper disclosure, memos 2, 4, 6, 7 to his attorneys. And I'm going somewhere now on page 59, Comey failed to immediately alert the FBI to the unauthorized disclosure of classified information. And then as you get to page 60 and you get to the conclusion and summary, it gets really more interesting there because they call him out. They call the FBI director out. Now, Colonel, when you see all of that and you look at this report just from a layman and you see this, it sounds like he broke a lot of, I guess the question is, did he break any laws in there? He certainly broke a lot of rules. Did he break any laws in there?
Technically, he didn't break any laws. He violated
policy
significantly, major policies, procedures, directives as the head of the FBI. There was no criminal laws, and when I say criminal, those of which would be felonies that he broke or violated. And that's the rub. And you know, I'm the first guy to go after these people, particularly guys like Comey, who are deeply embedded in the swamp. They are the pillars of the swamp. But when you get down to, but I'm also the type of person who says, let's be upfront and truthful about if a law is violated, it's been violated. If something else has been violated, what was it? In this case, look at it this way. If you work for a business, be it whatever, your own or a company, or even working in the federal government. I worked in the federal government as a military officer. I could do things extremely out of control, off the record, violations of rules, policies, procedures, whatever it is, they're not going to throw me in jail for it. The first thing they're going to do is fire me. They're going to drum me out of the military. That's what Trump did back when he fired Comey. He knew what Comey had done. He knew what violations were there. Those were all very apparent to him, and he did what he needed to do and fire him. Now, I firmly believe he was suspect that perhaps there could be something that, you know, bordered on felony violations that could put him in jail or you know, be charged in whatever, just like any other person who's charged with a felony. I think those are yet to come.
He took documents into his home. He put them in a private personal safe. Were those documents classified or were they not classified?
Well, that really comes down to defining classified. We have yet to see what actual documents were there. The documents that he took home that referred to his meetings with the president, mm-hmm. You have to remember, anything that happens in the Oval Office, the president could be talking about his grandkid with somebody. Anything that happens in the Oval Office is at the very minimum classified, confidential, and not released until it's deemed, okay, yeah, this can go out. He was talking to his neighbor about his grandkids or something. But every single thing the president says, having worked at the White House and experienced this, is automatically classified because it has to be validated and verified that it can go out and it's not going to harm the president, it's not going to harm the nation, it's not going to harm somebody else who may be meeting with. Most of the stuff is going to be treated as unclassified, but you can't go into the Oval Office and take notes and then put them out without having it checked by whoever.
It's executive privilege, right?
It's executive privilege. Yeah, right. Exactly. And the president is the person who has a right to deal with that and has a right to be, it should be handled in a proper way. And so, you know, just real quickly, if you look at what Comey did, he took notes. He had a laptop in his vehicle, his chauffeured vehicle, because the FBI director has a driver. And while he was leaving the White House back to the FBI headquarters, he was typing up a memo about what he talked about. That to me tells me he wanted to get something out. He needed to remember it. He needed to put it out. It needed to be fresh in his mind when he put it out. And so I started to wonder what that was all about. So, you know, but those were deemed at this point in time unclassified. What comes to be with the FISAs is going to be much, much more.
Well, we'll talk about that in a moment here. Obviously, James Comey is a smooth operator, without a doubt here. Let me read the tweets here that he's put out here, which is truly, truly amazing. He put out, in fact, moments after the report dropped, what happened is he was on Twitter trying to get in front and ahead of this bombshell. Now, everything I just read you from the report shows that the man was caught. But yet he came out and said the DOJ IG report found no evidence that Comey or his attorneys released any of the classified information contained in any of the memos to members of the media. I don't need a public apology from those who defamed me, but a quick message with a sorry we lied about you would be nice. Now, that was one tweet, Jim, that he put out there. And then following that up, he said, and to all those who spent 2 years talking about me going to jail or being a liar and a leaker, ask yourselves why you still trust people who gave you bad info for so long, including the president. Now, this guy is, you don't even begin to have the adjectives for these tweets. And he is really a smooth operator, or he is mentally disturbed. And it could be a little of both, potentially.
Let me address that. What he did there was twofold. One, he was, you know, basically giving the finger to everybody. But at the same time, he's building his defense for perhaps what's to come. Mm-hmm. He's trying to show his innocence and trying to show everybody, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm innocent. Look how upfront and honest I am. You know, you're the ones who are pointing the finger at me and going after me. He's building his defense right now. He's building support for his side because we don't know yet what's going to come out of the FISA version of this attorney general, or excuse me, of this IG report. And so he's already, you know, circling the wagons with his supporters. And that was the reason he went out on Twitter and he went out and I guess he gave a few interviews as well, or they're supposed to be doing some interviews today, but he's building his defense already. He knows there's more to come.
Yeah, he does obviously know there's more to come. And like I said earlier, he is certainly, Jim, a smooth operator at the very least. You know, one of the things I've seen, Jim, about a lot of pundits out there, a lot of Democratic strategists and operatives, so they are reminding the public that James Comey was a Republican. And I've seen quite a few of them do that, actually. Well, you know, he was a Republican, so obviously he was going after Trump in such a way. But, you know, which brings me back to, which I've talked about on air before, he and his wife and family. I don't know that they were ever Republicans. In fact, quite frankly, let me take that one step further. When you look at people like James Comey, or you look at this Robert Mueller, who did the investigation, and of course, you look at even Horowitz, for that matter, the inspector general. You know, a lot of these people, they say they're a brand of R. But, you know, in the case of like Comey, I wonder if that was all a setup from the beginning, if he was ever an R, or was that more or less, I just wonder, could that be a plant? Was he ever an R, really, or was that a plant, or do you think he was really a Republican?
Well, I think you hit it right at the very beginning when you talk about what these folks who are at high levels of government are and how they classify or, you know, register themselves politically. In order to play the game, in order to give themselves credibility. I mean, I've seen some of the most conservative people who are Democrats, and, you know, the last person they're going to give any accolades to are anybody from the swamp. And at the same time, there are Republicans who are, you know, diehard conservatives, and then there are those who are just, you know, the swampiest members of the establishment. And I think they do it for a number of reasons, but it really doesn't mean anything. It really comes down to how they carry themselves and how they present themselves in each and every one of these kind of cases. It's you got to look at them each individually, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know a lot of, coming out of the military, a lot of generals who are Democrats, and I would, you know, think in my mind, how the hell could you be a Democrat?
Right.
Or I've seen generals who were Republicans. I'm like, you're a Republican and you're working for Obama and doing this kind of stuff.
So you think sometimes they do it strategically for various reasons, and that may not be where their heart is, huh?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Yeah, interesting. Well, you got a few characters here that would fit into that category then, for sure, with Comey, Mueller, and Horowitz, for sure. I want to talk about Horowitz in just a moment here with you, the Inspector General itself, and then we'll get into more of that FISA report, what's going on there, in this whole setup. You know, everyone gets lost in the weeds with these stories, Jim. But the biggest story here is that I think everybody did see up front. These people like Comey and Brennan and Clapper and Mueller, all of these people did see right up front that Donald Trump was a threat to their establishment, to their playground, to their political playground. He was a threat to their system, probably a threat to their survival, and certainly a threat to what they perceived as their America. And therefore, I think that's where I think everything went, I think, a little crazy. And Jim, then people, I think the rules started to change. I think a lot of people then began to do things in a very interesting way, and they slipped up. Even the Strzok and Page episode, all that was going on, and very high up in the FBI, McCabe. You know, there are so many examples of this thing. So it looks like the system really blew itself up. It is kind of, you know, in a kind of sick, weird sort of way, Jim, it is kind of humorous with the fact that one guy, think about this in these terms, I know we don't always do this, but it is a bit humorous and sick at the same time, if you will, that one guy can blow up the system so badly that they all lose their brains in the process. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right on that. Trump is the number one threat to the establishment, certainly to the Democrats' chances in 2020 and perhaps the future and beyond. And they are everything backfired, going back to everybody was of the belief that Hillary Clinton was going to be the winner in 2016. And lo and behold, Donald Trump comes through, and they had a scramble to come up with a game plan to how do we take him out before the next election. And what they're now, it's really the Democrats who are in panic, because they realize their cards have been shown. It's being revealed who they are and what they're doing. And now, with actually from a strategic standpoint, when you look at this, a lot of people are concerned. Oh my God, here we are. Nothing's going to happen. Comey's going to walk and all this is going on. But what's being revealed is, look at this swamp. Look who everybody has been supporting, at least from the Democratic Party. They've all been behind all these people. They are really, really the party that's behind the status quo, the deep state. And I think this is what's really going to cost them in the 2020 election, particularly in the House, because who would want to vote for Democrats who are the ones who have been out front behind this? I mean, they've had Nadler, they've had Schiff, they've had Nancy Pelosi. They have all their rank and file leadership out there, you know, promoting the takedown of Trump through this whole process. And now, more than anything, it's being revealed. Okay, right now, to date, Comey hasn't been prosecuted, but it's been revealed what he was really doing, and that's going to play out even further in the coming weeks, I'm sure, as more information comes out on this.
So you think none of this escapes the American people? Then you think they're on you believe they're on top of this? You think they get
well? There's if you follow social media right now, mm-hmm. there's the standard knee jerk panic where there are those who think, see, more of the same, nothing's changed.
That's right,
and they're hoping. You have to really watch this. They're hoping this gets people's attention and something is done, but there are also those who are there wanting to say, see, I told you.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's something that's going to have to be managed in the stratcoms arena by the White House. But at the same time, the Democrats are scared of that part. It's being revealed what they were really doing. Mm-hmm. The fact that Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Clinton,
Holder,
and what about Obama? We're there to kneecap an elected president of the United States. That is the real, real serious crime.
Is the
intent to do that?
Well, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to bring you into the next segment here, and I want to talk about the question. I think the big question in the room that everybody is asking at this point is, how far up did this go, and was President Obama involved in it? Now, we haven't heard much from the former president up to this point in regards to this story, and you notice he is lying very low. The question you have to start to ask yourself, is it possible that something of this magnitude went on in an administration and the leader knew nothing about it, that the former president would have known nothing about any of this? You have to ask yourself, is that possible? And what's the conclusion you would come up with, people, at that point? You see, the bigger problem here, people, is, again, this: people are losing faith. You hear Colonel Warshak there and what he says. There are two forms of justice here, clearly. And this is the way people feel. So the bigger story is, will there really be justice here at some point? And I think a lot of people have stopped holding their breath because they're afraid they're going to pass out. And because they don't see the bright lining of really justice of any kind. Now, Colonel Warshak takes this story head on AmericaOutloud.com, people. And there's a very good analysis, I will call it, you want to read on there, that's entitled, Mr. Comey is not out of the woods yet. Here's why. And he gets into the whys, into the weeds, as to why he believes he's not out of the woods, even though Comey is sort of smiling and bragging on the sidelines, in this whole thing. So really, I think people are losing faith. And I think, how do you keep that faith when there doesn't seem to be any justice in this country? And the other thing, as I said on live radio this morning, it's really less people about a Republican and Democrat problem. I think a lot of you out there tend to do that. You put it into boxes. I don't really think that's the problem here. I think we're talking the bigger political deep state, and I think we're talking about something that is far greater than these two political parties at stake here, people. Wow. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. So again, as I suggest to you, a lot of people believe there really are two forms of justice, and they're afraid there's never going to be real justice. Now, why do I say that? Because there's a track record of that, people. There's a track record. And people at some point tend to give up, and they think the system is never going to fix itself. And this is kind of what we get. And this is, I mean, I see it. And as the Colonel just mentioned a moment ago, it's all over, sure, it's all over social media. And you can see, you know what it is, people? You can see the frustration in people. And you can see the pain in people. And I think some of that doesn't really, I have to hope and believe it doesn't follow so much the ideology of politics, which I know a lot of people do. You know, when they wake up in the morning, that's the first thing they recognize, whether they're a D or an R. But it really should follow more of the ideology of America and what it takes to preserve this republic that I talk to you about all the time. This is really the biggest story to me that is really my spot. I'm always talking to you people about here. Listen, some of the headlines. CBS News says Inspector General finds James Comey did not release classified information to the public. Now, you know, you just got to joke and cough and spit up at some of this stuff here. You know, I mean, what kind of a headline is that? I just read you those headlines from the report itself. You think that's letting them off easy? You think? ABC News says, Inspector General finds Comey violated FBI policy on Trump memos. DOJ declines prosecution. You know, none of them are very, they don't really go after Comey at all. Politico says, Dems fear report on Russia probe could kill their oversight momentum. That oversight momentum, let me translate that for you all. That's to hang the president is what they're speaking about there. That's from Politico. And of course, Fox News says CNN legal analyst calls IG report poetic justice for Comey after Hillary email investigation. Colonel Warshak is back with me here on this story. And, you know, you just see a lot of these headlines. And, you know, Jim, you got to believe the American people realize that the media just spins this every way they want, which I know you are so on top of. I know we talked about earlier today how the media takes a story and they just pump it for all it's worth until we're all sick and we're just, you know, just beyond ourselves. What happens then is people tend to turn it off and they tune it out. And then we end up with an ignorant public. So we kind of can't win or not. So, but let me start here and talk to you about this here. I want to ask you here now. And straight out question, because I know what my answer is, but I'll be darned if I know what your answer is. Was the former president, President Barack Obama, was he involved in it? Did he know what was going on? Was he involved in this? Was he calling the shots? Did he have some hand in this? Or do you think all of this happened without the former president knowing anything about anything?
I'm not sure if I should laugh or cry on that, but
sadly,
of course he knew. There's enough people out there who have talked about that, both on the Democratic side and the Republican side, that the former president knew in many ways what was going on. You know, his director of the FBI was James Comey, and many of these players who were there, his attorney general at the time, who the FBI director worked for, knew exactly what was going on. Just the way this whole thing played out and everything that's come out in the last couple of years certainly leads me, and if it doesn't lead anybody else to come to the conclusion that he didn't know what was going on is, you know, it's absurd. He knew exactly what was going on. In fact, he is the type of person who would want to know more mm-hmm. about what was going on than a lot of previous presidents. You know, most presidents have to remain hands off on the Department of Justice and what goes on there. The president cannot make a single recommendation to the Attorney General or certainly the FBI to do something to somebody. He or eventually in the future, a she, doesn't have any authority to even get involved with that. Let me also make a comment on the IG.
Horowitz,
he's a Democrat. He was picked by Obama. Now, you must understand the role of the IG in every federal agency, and practically every major federal agency has an inspector general's office. The inspector general is a watchdog. They're supposed to be nonpartisan, and they're supposed to be there to alert the leadership of any wrongdoing, any violations, any potential criminal activity by people who work in those agencies. The military has them, State Department, every major agency in government has them. But they are not a prosecutorial agency. They can't prosecute anybody. They can't bring charges. They can't indict anybody. All they can do is provide findings. They do thorough investigations. They bring people in. They find out who did what to whom. But the least
can they recommend it, Jim?
They can advise and they can recommend.
Exactly.
And then it's up to
the Attorney General.
Well, in this case, the Attorney General, mm-hmm. or if it's a military agency, a general in charge, or Department of Defense.
But in this case, it's the AG who would make that determination. AG, you bring up an interesting point.
They have to make a recommendation that is backed up by the law, and there's thresholds of what the law says can be brought upon, you know, through indictments and what have you, criminal referrals, which means you might not be indicted because we need to do further investigation. They'll do a criminal referral. There's a lot of criminal referrals that are in this whole report that we don't know about yet. The guy who knows about that is John Durham, who's currently working for General A.G. Barr, who's doing those investigations, and we haven't heard what he's found yet. So,
do we anticipate when that happens with Durham?
I think probably now. I was told this morning that portion of the report is complete and it's starting to filter through the highest levels of government. So I would expect perhaps later today or tomorrow, being a holiday weekend, you know how the news flow is during this period of the week and on a holiday. I think certainly there'll be stuff out next week.
So you think in the days ahead, you think some of that stuff is going to hit from Durham?
From the IG's report. We don't know yet what Durham has got up his sleeve and what he's finding. But
exactly.
From the folks that I've been talking to, he's doing a pretty thorough job. And that's where the real rubber is going to hit the road with what he has to say. The IG report will identify people involved, and I'm pretty positive there's going to be some real hard stuff coming out with regard to FISA. When you there's some key figures who I'm looking at who are going to play a key role. One is a woman by the name of Dana Benetti. She's in the front office of the FBI director, and she was there for Comey. She has signed off on the FISA renewal report. So someone gave her authority to approve those FISA reports. You know, they get authorized by various people, and then those reports go to the FBI director's office, and then they're off to the FISA courts. Mm-hmm. The other person is a woman by the name of Rosemary Collier. She's the presiding judge in the FISA court. She would have seen who lied to her to get these FISA warrants issued. So they're interesting. And the third person who I'm watching is, and we haven't heard anything about him, but he knows everything, is Admiral Rogers, Mike Rogers, who was head of the NSA, who alerted Donald Trump back in November 16 after he was elected, of what was really going on. He has been mum. He's being a hardline professional and not talking or saying anything, but he is the guy who knows everything with regard to all the FISA stuff. The next guy I'm looking at is McCabe in what he did. Now, it wasn't necessarily with the FISA warrants, but tinkering with the 302s, the FBI investigation reports, which ended up having Flynn indicted.
Wasn't that, he one hired by CNN?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. So let's step back a minute here. When we look historically back at this moment in time from, let's say, 50 years from now, certainly probably 25, but let's say 50 years from now we look back historically, what we're going to have at this point is, I would assume it will be documented, that we had an administration, the Obama administration, which was the first Black American president in our nation. Okay, great. And then we had the Secretary of State, the Hillary Clinton business, okay? We had the Clinton Foundation and all of that business going on, and the uranium deal and all of this, and the Fast and Furious, and there were all of these things were happening. Now, so there were a lot of bones to be buried over time, over an administration that many people would say was less than stellar. Now, let me stay out of the weeds of partisan politics, because it happens on both sides of the aisle. We all know that. Everybody listening knows that. And you know I give them all hell. But now you have all of that, Jim. Then you've got this, you've got the Hillary Clinton election coming up now. She's going to take the reins from Barack Obama. She's going to be the first woman president of these United States. She's going to take over for Obama. Now, at that point, Jim, all of the bones can remain buried. And everything can go on okay, and Brennan, Clapper, and Comey can continue to play the Three Stooges, and everything is okay. Nothing really gets changed. In fact, the Republic probably would be just fine, because we may never know. We probably would have never known, and maybe we would be okay for it. I don't really know. I don't know the answer. I know you don't like, nobody wants to hear me say that, but maybe that's the case. I don't really know. But here's the thing, Jim. All of that said, so Donald Trump decides to come down and escalate it, throw his hat in the ring just for the hell of it. I don't think he really planned to take over the whole thing. I don't think that was really I think it was, you know, it's a gut instinctive decision one makes in their life. He did the math real quickly. He realized where he was in his life. He thought he had nothing to lose. He didn't like what he's seen. He'd been talking about it. He'd been talking out loud about it for 30 years on a lot of outside, public media programs. So he decided, you know what? I got nothing to lose. I got a lot of money. I'm only going to live so long. Yeah, let me see if I can't fix this thing. I mean, I get that. I really get that. So he throws his hat in the ring. He comes down the escalator. That's a big joke, Jim. It's the laughing stock of the century. Ha ha, this bombastic businessman from the Brian. Oh, come on. And all of that blows up. Now, he gets in the race. He becomes what the Democrats refer to as a laughing stock. He doesn't have a chance in winning. Do you agree with that?
No, that's what they were saying.
They were thinking, hey, he doesn't have a chance to win this thing. Come on, Warshak, he doesn't have a shot in hell. Hillary Clinton is going to be the new president. We got it all figured out. The bones can stay buried. The Three Stooges can be okay. Everything's good in paradise here as the deep state continues to go through. In America, the machine called America is still going on, and we're all doing our business, and everybody's happy. And then, all of a sudden, what happens? This race gets very serious, and the numbers come closer. And he takes it. You start to, in fact, I remember that night, Jim, you remember when the states started to fall and you seen Pennsylvania turn, Florida, remember Florida turn, Pennsylvania turn, Michigan, you started to see a lot of these states and it was like, oh my God, he's gonna what? Well, the Democrats about, at that point, the bones, they were starting to try to dig up the bones quickly, checking the emails and the texts and the messages, and they really knew there was a problem because you had a new president coming in. Jim, as we look back historically 50 years from now, and we realize that a sitting president called Barack Obama got his entire deep state apparatus of the DOJ and the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and all of the alphabet retards, and he got them all in play to take down Donald Trump as the candidate and then the duly elected president. And clearly, this is a moment in time. In other words, is there any time in our country, in our country's history, Jim, have we ever come close? I mean, what's the closest thing that comes to your mind when we look back at this thing 50 years from now? We know we just lived through some history here, man, huh?
Well, I think this will be on par, if I can make a comparison, to the assassination of JFK. We're still trying to uncover the bones on that. People are still writing about it and researching about it and trying to come to a valid conclusion, not that it didn't, that it happened, but how it happened, who was behind it. So, you know, I think that might be the closest one. You know, one of the things about this country is there's no, you know, no stopping historical research on how things happened to look at it. You know, we're still evaluating, you know, World War One and World War Two. We have historians who are continuing to write about that and to investigate, and every once in a while come up with a little bit different twist to it. So this will certainly be the research topic du jour probably over the next 50 years if it doesn't come to a finite conclusion. And that should be a warning to whatever party wins an election, not just in 2020, but certainly 2024 and beyond, that there's always going to be research done to try to come up with, this is what really happened, here's who was involved. And so I hope that remains in the back of a lot of people's minds, that this isn't going to be over, you know, this year or next year. There's going to be research done on it. You know, it'll be pro and con, it'll be positive, negative, but it will be a perpetual research and analysis project for lots of people from many years to come.
Yeah, no, sure will, Jim. That's well said, buddy. This has been tainted badly. Do you see us coming back from this?
I think we'll come back from it. I think the key thing that you pretty much said it right there, is we cannot fail to properly define what justice is. We can't have the revisionists going in into the dictionaries and into whatever and change the definition of justice, because that would be our real downfall. We have to have a free and fair justice system supported by rational, valid, you know, laws and the Constitution. You know, justice for America, like no other country, is defined in the Constitution. And there's a lot of people out there who want to tear it down and get rid of it. And that would be we would cease to be America without the Constitution. And we can't have that. And we certainly can't change it, just like we can't change the definition of justice. Because once you start tinkering with that, we no longer exist as the way we were. So that's my warning, if you will, to those out there who want to define it differently or want to try to change it. We need to stand by that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're listening there, friends, to the voice of Colonel Jim Warshak. And Colonel Warshak is an absolute patriot. He's a military hero, and he's an American patriot. And he's also a voice of truth. The one thing I know, I've talked to Jim off and on, Mike, and he really seeks the truth, wherever the truth is, whether it's left, right, or center, he's after the truth. You know, I'm really take a moment here and do a shout out. I'm proud of all of our experts. I'll tell you, it's truly amazing, this place, this home that has become America Out Loud. When you think of the people we have amassed here, you can hardly put it in better terms, people. Visit our bookstore at AmericaOutLoud.com as well, so you can favor them and get their books. Certainly on the platform, you'll find so many great write-ins, so many great shows and programs, and people that are after the truth. So, friends, if you want justice, and I hear this all the time, America Out Loud is a unique place. It's a unique place because it's run by we the people, you see? It's not into that bureaucracy and the rest of it. So, therefore, we can call them out, and we will continue to do that here. Well, friends, let's continue on with the show here. Stay right there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. And, you know, there are a couple of lessons in this next segment here. And one of the lessons are that be careful what you put out there. It might come back to haunt you. And that is, of course, the world of social media or anything at all that's going to incriminate you down the road. You got to remember that. Right? We're always telling the kids that, right? We've got a classic case of that next, people, but it involves the New York Times. And the story even goes further. Now, listen, this is really the Sunday funnies, what we're going to talk about here. And this is really the height of hypocrisy here. A campaign targeting our staff was the memo. And I want to read you this here. It says, a note to staff by New York Times publisher A.G. Sulzberger, calling attention to a Times story about a campaign led by President Trump's allies intended to harass and embarrass individuals affiliated with several leading news organizations. More so, of course, he was pointing out it was their own organization they were worried about. So what's happened is there are some operatives out there, some people that have taken this on to kind of, let's call it, leveling the playing field. And the Times did not like it, and A.G. Sulzberger came out and said as such, sent the memo out to the team here, and it involves old tweets and old messages that have been put out there that, you know, people did years ago. You know, again, we've all done stupid stuff in our lives when we were in school, right? Or maybe we're still doing stupid stuff today. Anyways, on that note, let me bring on Dennis Santiago is here, and Dennis is an American strategist. He's a patriot, focuses on strategic warfare, asymmetric warfare, arms control, global stability here. This is a fascinating story. And by the way, Dennis has got, I think, an incredible read, an article on this you must read. And it is on AmericaOutloud.com as we speak here. You'll find that story. So this one, let me start off here, Dennis, and read this right at the top here because it's worth it. So he says here in the memo, dear colleagues, we published an article today revealing a coordinated campaign by President Trump's allies to attack hundreds of journalists in retaliation for coverage on the administration. This unprecedented campaign appears designed to harass and embarrass anyone affiliated with independent news organizations that have asked tough questions and brought uncomfortable truths to light. Dennis, while I read this, would you play the violin, please, behind me? The New York Times, which has distinguished itself with fearless and fair coverage. Now, don't anybody fall over when I say that, please. Let me repeat that again. The New York Times, which has distinguished itself with fearless and fair coverage of the president. You didn't fall over, did you? Is one of the main targets of this assault. Unable to challenge the accuracy of our reporting, political operatives have been scouring social media and other sources to find possibly embarrassing information on anyone associated with the Times. Go figure. And so this is quite the story. Dennis, I could not believe this one when this came up here. And he talks about how they're fear and they do a great job. And he says, for years, the president used terms like fake news and enemy of the people. That's a good place to start, actually. So I guess the first question is with the New York Times, they are referenced as fake news out there. Are they fake news? Is that a fair assessment of the New York Times?
You know, the fair assessment of the New York Times is that they're news with a lot of spin, all right? You know, like how far can you stretch the truth? So what are they at this point? I would say they're more like a propaganda operation. I mean, you know, they went all in and committed to this resistance thing after the 2016 election, and that's been their business model. The people that work for them have bought into it. And, you know, so they're trying to project themselves as this saintly keeper of the flame that is just waiting for the day that the sun rises and the dark evil of Donald Trump disappears from the United States of America. What a mission. Now, between you and me, what happened after Sulzberger issued that memo is the entire news industry said, "What the heck are you talking about? You're what a whiner."
Exactly. Because you know why? I didn't see any other big operations, any other media outlets really jump on this in the way the Times did. They were really insulted by this, weren't they?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they were. Edward R. Murrow, who used to, one of the true great reporters of the world, was once quoted as saying, you know, reporters don't have thin skin, they have no skin. And in this case, you know, the New York Times proved itself to be pretty skinless. I mean, you know, we're talking bratwurst with nothing on it, man. So here's the thing about this. The tweets that this centered on.
Yeah, let's talk about those.
The within the New York Times, there one of their editors popped out tweets back in 2009, 2010, in the December, January timeframe that had, and remember, these are New Yorkers, right?
Was that Jonathan Weissman you're speaking of there?
This was...
Or Tom White Piersanti.
Tom White Piersanti.
Yeah.
Is the guy. So he pops out tweets like, apparently he saw a car driving by in 2009 that had a menorah on the taped to the roof, and he said, "Well, you know, is that the Jew police?" You know, which between you and me is exactly what probably everybody on the street in December of 2009 in New York City that saw a car going by there would probably go, "Well, that's kind of weird," you know.
Well, it's what a New Yorker might say, right?
Exactly. I mean, right. You know, New York.
So why was it offensive, though? Why are they so thin-skinned about it? What's the problem?
It wasn't offensive at the time, okay? Mm-hmm. In 2009, mm-hmm. 2010, these kinds of things. This is the kind of stuff that New Yorkers said. You know, like Malcolm, you and I are, you know, we've been around for a while. You know, we grew up in a time when smack talk was what you did as
well. We weren't politically correct. I mean, we just said it as it was. That's not the way it is today, though.
Yeah, and you know, and these are just off the cuff comments for like, "Oh, I just saw something different, and I want to say something about it, and this is the way I'm going to express myself." At the time, it was innocuous. Today, in the world of extremely hyper triggered culture in America and a breakdown of social cultural norms,
right,
to the point that we, you know, we get triggered by everything. One thing like that causes a Twitter storm to blow up in everybody's face.
It's a ripple effect. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, it is. It's, at this point, none of us have skin is really what's going on.
Well, here's what I love about this story. Now, for real, if we go back through everybody's Facebook feed, Twitter feed, or a high school yearbook by chance, okay? And if we did this across the spectrum of all media people now, and let's say maybe this is a study we need to do at this point, but I'd like to run the study, actually, quite frankly. I think we should go back through all of them and get all of the bad things they've said, all the things that are less than stellar that would show that maybe they had a sense of humor, maybe they weren't so politically correct, maybe they didn't give a damn or whatever, or maybe they got drunk one night. I don't know. Pick your poison, right? But if we went back and grabbed all that information, what's really so funny about it is they're offended by that because these people that support the president would do that to sort of level the playing field. Now, you know, everybody out there knows that Trump has had a very unfair hand with the media. And so for the Times to take this righteous position, this old gray lady, as you call her, to take this righteous position of, "Oh my God, you know, that you can't be saying that about us," And yet they go back into Trump's past, his administration's past, his cabinet's past, when he was a Boy Scout, what he did when he delivered papers. They want to know everything about him, his family, his associates, his cabinet, the people around him. They want to go back and dig, but that's okay. But they don't want anyone else digging on the current media people or the people who are reporting. What's fair about this? What's unfair about this, Dennis?
It's completely unfair. Okay, mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, but and by the way, political allies of both the left and the right have been up to this for a very long time.
That's
you
right.
know, organizations that go back decades doing this. You have Accuracy in Media, which has been around for a long, long time, and then you have Media Matters. You know,
Media
one's
matters,
on the left, yeah. one's on the right. And they've been in the business of digging around, looking for dirt on media personalities and anybody else that they can find to try to embarrass people. The difference today, so you, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that allies of Trump. We're going into an election year, for goodness sakes, right?
Right.
And it shouldn't surprise anybody that allies are beginning to activate in preparation for the 2020 election. And, you know, this is one of them. But, you know, it shouldn't surprise anybody that allies are beginning to activate on the left side as well, preparing for this.
Well, know? That's a little bit of this, but it's actually more than that, too. I agree it's a little bit of this, you know, getting activated and getting all the arsenal out there for the campaign. I mean, I understand that. But it's actually more than that. This is called tit for tat. What's happened is there's a good part of the populace now that are ripping pissed with the media. I'm talking about media across the board here. And this is a way for them to pay them back. I think this is hysterical. And it's actually what's made it news and what's made it more hysterical is the memo to the staff from Salzburg. And get a load of this, people. He says, a campaign targeting our staff. Now, these buffoons target every piece of the administration, but every piece of people that are even slightly associated with the administration. And they go back in time, and that's perfectly okay. But the people that are reporting on it and doing it, who have a lot of nefarious things they've done potentially in the past, Sulzberger is insulted, and he wants to call everybody out. I just find this so rich.
It is rich. I mean, you know, look at the guy. The guy just proved to the entire planet that he is elitist, narcissistic, and self-centered. Come on.
Perfect.
And the rest of the news industry basically said that. I mean, you know, you got publications from Politico, the New York Post. But you're going to expect the New York Post will go after the New York Times any chance it gets, right? Because they're arch rivals. The Washington Post went after him, right? So. And the Washington Post actually had one of their reporters or their people was called out by the same expose. It turned out that was an ironic one. So the Washington Post said, "Hey, no big deal." You know, they took it in
stride. So they sort of blew it off. You're saying all these other places.
Yeah, they blew it off. Yeah, yeah. CNN.
And they kind of called the Times out a little bit. CNN stayed under the radar. You said, right?
Yes, they did. What they did is they basically, you know, their legal counsel basically said, "Go quiet. Have the guys delete their tweets and then don't say anything." You know, which is. Look, it's corporate crisis, right? In a corporate crisis,
love it.
You can either go quiet and
I'm
wait
choking here,
over, or you go loud. And the New York Times decided to go loud, and everybody else is going like, "That was a stupid thing to do."
Yeah, and it's surprising to see CNN, who usually screws up on these kind of matters, quite honestly. But it's surprising that they took that road, Dennis. Usually, they're the first ones to be offended. You know, they're one of those that don't think their own, you know what, has a stench. You know.
Yeah, well, you know, they got bought by Time Warner, right? So they're shifting.
That was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, now they're the restaffing and the reorganization of stuff is going on, and so CNN is changing. They're being driven back towards center because basically there's somebody over there is going like, we need to position this particular organization over the long haul to be as broad, expansive, and able to compete with. The machine over at Fox in order to get us back into the same level of market share that they're at, you know, so, and they know what they have to do. And remember, these are news organizations. They are for-profit businesses. They will do whatever they have to do to make money.
Yeah. You say here in the article, you have a section here, reining in a media that has lost its way. And I love that subtitle here because everybody listening right now knows darn well the media has lost its way. I mean, one of the stories we're always reporting on and talking about is the media. The media has become the story lately. And the Fourth Estate, we've already cemented the idea that they're dead. I mean, they're no longer on what the framers envisioned. I mean, they've gone rogue. They are the news. They are making, and they're not just reporting the news, they're making the news up as they go. And so clearly for Sulzberger to be offended at anything, I mean, he's a putz. But you say here, I'm a big fan of symmetry when it comes to long-term conflicts. It creates parity. I love the word parity, by the way. That's it's like when you're a kid, Dennis, and you're out on the playground and you're on a seesaw. You know, having parity on a seesaw is awfully nice. You understand?
Yeah, sometimes you have to put two kids on one side, but what the heck?
Listen, is this the first shoe to drop? Do we see, I mean, what I'm asking is, this is brilliant what's happened here. These people, and by the way, who's going after them? Who are the people that are doing this?
The people that are going after them, there's a guy by the name of Arthur Schwartz, who apparently, at least according to the media, and this is all alleged because it comes out in Twitter and stuff like that, but he's allegedly associated or knows Donald Trump Jr. So they're not associated with the White House or anything like that. These are just like, this is some guy that basically took
people are passionate about Trump, in other words.
Yeah, they're basically going, turnabout's fair play and the whole thing. And so we've talked about this in the past, the right of aisle people learning to use Twitter as well as the left of aisle people, where it's happening, right? And guess what? What that means is now you have parity, now you have equal pressure from both sides. And what that does is it causes the media to have to remember that its job is to report the news and not create it.
Amen to that, buddy. That is a mouthful and a half here. You say here, I think that what Arthur Schwartz is doing is restoring balance, so to speak, when both sides of the political spectrum employ the same weapons against each other. In practical terms, they begin the process of negating tactical innovation advantages to arrive at a stalemate. That is well said, buddy. How did we fall so far off the beaten path? How did we get here?
The internet. We had. I'm serious, man. I think we had a heck of a lot of fun with this medium that allowed us to type anything we wanted into it, and we thought it's like going into a play yard, right? You know, like the little kids that go into the thing with the balls in it, the McDonald's. They run in there and they're like having a good old time. They don't care what's going on. That happened to us. Okay, we got happy. And we got stupid, and now the world is basically saying, no, maybe you ought to grow up again.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you ought to grow up again. Yeah, it's nice in this lifetime when things come around that go around that need to happen that hits you straight in the head. Here, it's awfully nice when that happens. People, listen. This is a read. Go read the story. Media giants reveal stinky feet of clay. You'll see it right up at the top of AmericaOutloud.com as you're listening right now to Viewpoint This Sunday. And if you're listening to this on podcast on another day, just go to bloggers Dennis Santiago and you'll see the same story right there, people. It is an excellent, excellent read. I love the way Dennis writes these stories up and the way he reveals what we call the out loud truth, my friends. And there's a lot of that coming at you here today. AmericaOutloud.com. There's an awesome group of people back there bringing you the best shows, the best programming, blogs, write-ins, all the things that are happening. Stay safe and be good and stay loud, people. Thank you for joining me today on the journey. It's time to get involved and get loud.